Welcome back to the Compassionate Educators Show. At the time of this recording, many of you are getting ready to return back to school after winter break, whether that is in person or virtually. And whether or not you are in the building with your students or you are on Zoom with them, it's really critical that we create a safe environment for every child that is in our care. So part of that is really making sure that we have those safe spaces and that we really are in tune with what is happening behind the scenes. Because as we know, during long breaks especially, there's a lot of things that are going on behind closed doors for our students that can create trauma, that can create a lasting impact and impact not only their personal lives, but their academics, their motivation, their capacity to learn and grow within your class as well. So today, my guest, Nicole McDonald, and I are going to have a pretty mature conversation related to how to help our female students especially navigate micro traumas that happen in school. And also, if you want to take this one step deeper, how to navigate traumas that are happening outside of school as well and how that impacts their learning within the classroom. So if you do have younger children around, I do recommend that you either listen to this conversation maybe after they're in bed or when you are commuting without them in their car, or if you are ready to have more mature conversations with them, then feel free to include them. But I'm just forewarning you, we are going to be having more of that more mature conversation. With that said, I also want to bring to light that although these conversations may sometimes be difficult, maybe uncomfortable, it's really critical that we do acknowledge what is happening. And when our students come forward to express that they have been abused, that they have endured harm, trauma in some way, that we acknowledge them, that we believe them, that we offer them support and some help. Now, I recently was in a conversation with a friend of mine who expressed that she had been sexually assaulted when she was younger. She had been abused, and she went to her middle school counselor for support, for some assistance, and was essentially re-victimized when the counselor accused her of just seeking attention. As a licensed school counselor myself, this completely put a knot in my stomach. Now, moments like that are all too common. When a child comes forward and they share a difficult story with you, that they are placing a huge amount of trust in you, and it is a gift. It is a gift that we must be very gentle with and help that student seek support. Because I know for my friend who was expressing her story to me, this is something that has stayed with her for many, many years, and she still recalls the way that she felt when that counselor didn't believe her. So you can truly change someone's life by just believing their story and offering them support, offering them hope. And you do not have to be a counselor or a social worker to do this. And then within the conversation I have with Nicole in just a moment, you'll see what you can do in order to really support that student in whatever capacity you serve as an educator or even as a parent. So here is my conversation with Nicole McDonald. Welcome to the Compassionate Educators Show. I am your host, Marie Cooney, former school counselor, social worker, current homeschooling mama, and entrepreneur. I'm on a journey to share insights and inspiration that just might transform the way we interact with our students, our children, and our communities. I will share with you stories from the front lines while working with children of all ages and with families of all backgrounds. Join me as I weave in interviews with other remarkable, compassionate educators from around the globe, as we uncover innovative ways to guide today's children on a path of empathy and joy while fostering resiliency and celebrating diversity. Whether your students or children are learning in a classroom, at home, in nature, or online, welcome to Season 2 of the Compassionate Educators Show. Welcome to the Compassionate Educators Show. We have Nicole McDonald here today, whom I'm so excited to share with you. She is a clinical social worker and parenting coach who has spent the last 25 years or so working with teens and families to navigate chaos, heal, and connect in deep, meaningful ways. And she really specializes in the teen years. So both as a mom, as a school social worker, she has so much knowledge, experience to share. And today we are talking about micro traumas that some of the girls in your classrooms may be experiencing that go unnoticed, undetected, and what we can do to help them navigate and to really help them within their classroom and potentially, if you're a parent, how to have those conversations at home as well. So welcome, Nicole.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. I love your podcast and I love everything you do. So thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's a pleasure having you here. And I would love to hear, first of all, if you could share a little bit about what led you to this particular passion and mission of yours in helping navigate those teen years, which, as we know, are not easy.
No, they are not. I guess I kind of have a weird beginning. I did become a social worker. I found an old journal of mine and I wanted to be a social worker and a psychologist my whole life. And I ended up graduating and getting a job in a high school and I was terrified. I thought I would never be able to connect with those scary teenagers. And then I raised three of my own scary teenagers. I had three daughters, now grown, my baby's 20. And, what I found was that it was my calling. Like I was the teen whisperer. I could walk into a room and in 5 minutes have a teen I'd never been with give me their deepest, darkest secrets. So it was really where I was meant to be. But what I found in doing that is, you know, I also have a small private practice. So I was seeing parents, I was seeing kids, and even in the school, but I was seeing these kids across from me and they were in such pain and they just wanted their moms. They just wanted their moms, but there was such a disconnect. And then I would talk with the moms. They just wanted their kids. They just wanted to be together, but so much had built up between them and they didn't know how to navigate it. And I thought, oh, I need to do something. I have the skills to do something. And that's how slowly over time I came to find myself online and working with moms and teens. And again, it's, you know, if you trust your journey and you follow your passion, you end up where you're supposed to be.
Well, I have chills already, and that usually doesn't happen until later in our conversations, but yeah, that's so true. And we talked so much about how significant it is to connect, that those relationships are so significant in making a difference. And so,
absolutely.
Yeah. And so when you're working with teens and when you're working with parents, what is something that you found to really help them make a stronger connection and to form that bond so that there's that trust, that rapport, that compassion between one another?
Well, it's hard to give a blanket statement, right? Because we're dealing with human beings. And so, you know, I think if you simplify it too much, then the mom or the child who are trying to connect feel like there's something wrong with them because they can't fit into that square peg, into that round hole. But I do think, and I tell everyone this, my kind of mantra in this is everybody wants to feel seen, heard, and loved. So as a parent listening to this, you want to ask, A, are you feeling seen, heard, and loved? Because if any of those aren't being met, you're going to react aggressively or be triggered and respond. And are you doing that to your child, to your daughter, right? And so if you start with that, that is how you'll get the wheels going. When you talk to her, does she feel seen, heard, and loved? Are you truly hearing her, or are you stuck in your own stuff? And if you feel stuck, get help. Find some places, you know, some people who can help you, because you need to work through that. You need to really find the path for your child so that you guys can repair that and heal.
Yeah. And what you said about everyone wants to be seen, heard, and loved. I know that something you've seen within the schools that mm-hmm. has really caught your attention and brought concern that you really want to bring awareness about, and why we're connecting today, is that there's a lot of girls who are not being valued necessarily within their school buildings, and mm-hmm. some really troubling events that are taking place causing these micro traumas that they're coming into the classroom with. And often teachers aren't aware, school staff maybe sees a different side and not seeing mm-hmm. what's going on beneath the surface. So I would love mm-hmm. to talk a little bit about what you're seeing, Nicole, happening, and first bring awareness, because we can't make changes unless we are aware of what's going on. So I think the first step is really to just, help those who are listening to uncover, unpack a little bit about what is going on in some of the high school buildings. And mm-hmm. I know even in some of the middle school buildings that mm-hmm. It's kind of troubling that we need to be more aware of.
Certainly. Well, for me, I'm a woman and I'm drawn to women, and I raised three daughters. So it's like a magnet to me. And so you work with young girls, and inevitably you end up, digging through those layers and finding out like, well, what's going on for you? What is happening? Or more often than not, that young woman herself doesn't recognize the issue. And it's one of her friends that come and tell you, because, as a woman going through we'll call it micro trauma, and then I'll explain it. You don't necessarily see yourself as being, I don't want to use the word victim, but as being a victim. You see yourself as just kind of tolerating things going through your day. And so it's not always easy to recognize. And we're also socialized to not pick up on stuff like this. So let me explain what I'm talking about. Basically, what I have come to learn is that a lot of these young girls are going through the hallways, and they are, we used to call it catcalling. They're getting comments made to them that are very vile or inappropriate. Comments about the way they dress, the way they look, their hair, their bodies, or they're getting grabbed. They're walking through the hallway and getting grabbed inappropriately. And in some situations, I've spoke with quite a few, an alarming number of young women whose boyfriends were allowing other boys to grab or touch them inappropriate. And they love this boy. They love him. So they don't want to lose him. And if they're in a relationship that's kind of based around that, their value is not, they don't understand their worth. So, it's easy for us to say, well, why does she let that happen? But she's starting from such a low sense of self-worth, and she just wants to keep that love in her life. So, or she may feel threatened and afraid and not know how to get out of a situation, which most often with younger girls, that's the situation. They don't know how to get out of something that they've gotten themselves into. So the reason I wanted to talk about it is because these young girls are then walking into a classroom and sitting down in a class, and they may be super fidgety. They may not be paying attention. And we're seeing somebody with a lack of motivation. We're seeing somebody with a behavior problem or acting out, and not understanding that she has to go through that hallway, experience some of that stuff, and then self-regulate and self-soothe in that small little desk, and then do math, or then do English. So, and she might not have the words to articulate it, to even say, this is what I'm going through. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important for teachers to have that awareness that that could be something that's going on. And I think it is important for parents to understand that, a lot of times we have our amazing young woman in our lives, and all of a sudden her grades are dropping. All of a sudden her behavior is different. Either she's going out too much with people you don't know, or she's making these weird excuses not to go out. And we never think to ask about those things because they're unimaginable for us, let alone unimaginable for them.
Yeah. Yeah. That's such a good point. And it brings me back to my days when I was working in the high school. And one of the very first groups that I did when I first came in as a freshman intervention counselor, and I was working with 14 and 15 year old girls, and the principal, the vice principal said, okay, here's a group of girls that have been in the office too often, and we need you to work with them and to help them essentially so they're not getting in trouble. Mm-hmm. So I bring them together, and through the different activities that we do and the conversations we have, it comes about that all five of them were being called very inappropriate, demeaning names at school. There was a lot going on similar to what you're saying as well about being harassed in the hallways. And now, you know, we bring in social media. I mean, this is
right.
You know, I don't want to date myself, but this is a little before social media was as prevalent as it is now. But just thinking about those girls in particular and how their self-worth was so low because of things that were happening. And then they come into school, they don't want to do their work. They are easily triggered by things that are happening because they just experienced all of these micro traumas. And oftentimes, I should say with all of these girls in particular, they weren't having these conversations at home. Nobody knew what was going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. And it's scary for them. It's scary for them to talk about it, to just say it out loud. So how can we help these girls feel safer at school? Because this is a really prevalent issue.
Yeah. Before I answer that, I just want to make one comment. Another thing that sometimes these girls will do is they will become sexualized, and they will actually put themselves out in a sexual way. And so we kind of might look at that and go, oh, well, you know, she's kind of inviting it, or she likes it, or that's who she is. But she's come to learn that that's how to get attention, and she doesn't know how to get out of it or how to get a different type of attention. So we have to be careful with that too. I see that a lot as well. But how can we protect these girls is an amazing question. I think there's really some very easy and concrete things that teachers can do. I'll start with teachers. And then if I forget to get onto moms, you let me know. first of all, I think that oftentimes as teachers, we end up in these informal group settings. You know, you got a bunch of kids, maybe 6 or 8 kids in your class, you know, at lunch or after school. And it's the perfect time to probe and to start some conversations. Like, you know, what is it like to be a girl in here? What is it like to walk through the halls? Like literally asking them, because if nobody's asked them, they don't even realize like, oh yeah, it's really creepy. There's that group of guys that we have to walk past and this happens. And then once you give them permission to talk and one other person starts talking, everyone has permission. So you're giving them permission to talk, right? Asking them concrete questions, just like, what is it like in the halls? Do you ever see this happening? Do you hear about, you know, XYZ? I do that all the time. If I hear a rumor, I'll just be like, hey, have you heard anything about this? And boom, they're talking. And it can lead to other conversations. And we need to not be afraid. Because if we are afraid of these nitty-gritty topics, what are they feeling? Right? If the adults in their life are afraid. And, you know, there is a level of, you know, we have to be the professionals and we're afraid to cross lines. But I think it's also, I want to give you guys the skills and the words to say, you know, when things come up, you can say, I'm really not sure how to handle that. I'm not sure what to do to help you, but I do know the right person to help you. And I can't tell you how many teachers, especially a lot of male teachers, will bring a young student into my office and be like, listen, this Miss McDonald, she's going to help you. I know she is. And that is an endorsement that automatically opens the door for whoever you bring them to. And it allows you an escape clause. You don't have to have all the answers. You just have to, it's that seen, heard, and loved perspective, right? You have to see them like, okay, there's something going on here. You have to hear them. And then you have to show that you care enough to get them the help. You don't have to be the savior. You just have to do that and get them to somebody. One other thing I want to say is be a safe place. And you can do this in your classroom in the beginning of the year. And I would even encourage you to repeat it over and over. But you can say to your class, if you find yourself in a position and you don't know what to do, you can walk into my classroom, even if there's a class going on. You can look at me and you can walk into the back and find an empty seat and sit. And as soon as I'm done, I'll be able to help you. You don't have to put up with a bullying situation. You don't have to put up with a sexually inappropriate situation, anything. Just walk in and know that. And they might never use it, but what if they do? And you're that one place. So I think that's an important thing to do, you know?
Yeah. And I'm so thankful that you also brought up that fear that sometimes as adults, we have that fear to have those conversations, to discuss what's going on beneath the surface. Because if we open that door, then what are we going to find out, right? Mm-hmm. And so if we learn about it, if we become aware, then it's, okay, next step, what are we going to do about it? And so many times that's very uncomfortable as the adult. And so sometimes wanting to sweep it under the rug. But as we know, when we do that, when we pretend that everything's okay, that it only makes it, fester and grow eventually come out in some more harmful way. So
right.
I'm really glad that you essentially give everyone permission to, as you said, we're giving the students permission to talk.
Yeah.
Asking those concrete questions. You're giving them permission to, it's okay if you're afraid to have these conversations, but it's important. We need to have them and to be that safe space for all students, whether you're, in high school, middle school, elementary school, to be that safe place. Because I know that anyone who is listening to this podcast really wants to make a significant impact and be a positive change for the children in their lives.
Absolutely. I think it's important to also maybe just explain what we mean, because I don't know if I did that. I just jumped in. The micro traumas and what we mean by that. Micro traumas are just these, we think of trauma. It's become such a common term for us. And we think of big things, your house burning down, like we're talking about sexual stuff. So maybe a sexual assault, a big divorce. We think of big traumas, a car crash. But there's studies that show that these micro traumas, these small traumas that happen, and it might be food scarcity. It might be the events that we talked about that happen in the hallways. They build up and they, over time, have the same effect as a major trauma. So those micro traumas and finding a place for them to be safe and heard and get help with them are important and as important as a major trauma because they will add up over time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, what would you say to a teacher who says, that's really not my role. Like I really need to focus on the subject area that I'm teaching. And if they have a micro traumas happening, or they have something that they're dealing with that is really big, they just need to go directly to the school counselor or the social worker. What would you say in that situation?
I would say they're right and they're wrong. Right. So I think that they're absolutely right because, you're the teacher. You're there to, and you have so much pressure on you to get your own requirements managed. But I can also say that you're wrong, and that's really strong, but hear me out, in that your job in the long run will be easier if you're able to come up with a system like this that really gives kids a place to feel safe. Or almost being like you're like the Underground Railroad, getting them from one place to the other, you know? If they can come in and they know that it's a safe place, that's actually going to de-escalate them on a daily basis anyway. If they see your classroom as a safe space, their energy level is going to come down. You're going to have less blowouts from all of the kids. You're going to have less, I'm trying to think of the word, I'm sorry, it's not coming to me, but just less conflict in the classroom, less disrespect in the classroom, because the kids will also start to take care of themselves. They'll start to police themselves, like, hey, don't do that. Or let's just, you know, there'll be a calmness to your classroom. And I'm not saying that everybody needs to be a counselor, right? But honestly, most teachers perform such an amazing role. It's almost more important on a connection level than the counselors do. Kids remember their teachers. You're lucky if you get remembered as a counselor. You're like that place that I went to crying that time. So you have more power, you have more influence, and you can do it in a manner where if it's that safe space in the back of your room, you end your class and you go and you say, how can I get you help? Where can I take you that you feel safe? And you just take them there and then you're done. You know, I'm not necessarily saying do it during your class, but I'm talking more of like, you know, an after school, a lunchtime, or find a partner. Most teachers have a partner across the hall.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you bring up that if we deal with these in the beginning, if we're more proactive about creating that safe environment, about bringing these conversations to light and making our students feel that they can have these conversations, even though it might feel uncomfortable, that in the long run, it is going to decrease the outbursts, the other types of aggression, you know, the explosions. And also, as we know, many times the implosions, the, distractions and just not, you know, students not participating. So
if they are struggling with these micro traumas, if they're struggling with something else, they are not focused on your class anyway. You're not reaching that child. You're not going to get work out of that child. They're most likely, like you said, going to be distracting other students because they can't contain what's going on inside of them. And it might not be extremely outwardly disruptive, but, you know, the kids around them are going to pick up on their energy. And
yeah,
I know the teachers know what I'm talking about.
They know.
Yes, they know. You know exactly.
Right. Yes. And so you've given some great advice for teachers. And I want to pick your brain from one more perspective. So from the perspective of administrators, because I know that we have some admin who listen to the show, and that's really a unique situation because on one hand, they need to kind of enforce, right? They need to enforce the rules of the school, the expectations. On the other hand, as we know, when we are really coming to our students with compassion, when we are giving them permission to talk, when we are really creating that safe environment, it's going to create just a more, you know, a healthier school environment. So if you were, let's say you woke up, let's say you wake up tomorrow and you were a school administrator and you can maybe put one or two things into practice school-wide that might really help the students feel safer, that might help decrease micro-traumas, you know, that might just, again, create that healthier environment. What would be your like ideal, you know, have a wish type of response to that?
I actually have a really good response to that because I have addressed that. And I think just starting, first of all, I don't think administrators are trained. I think this is a relatively new kind of perspective to have. So I don't think that they are given all of the training that they should have, right? So it's not necessarily an administration problem. It's kind of a training problem, really, I think. And so they don't, it's kind of like police officers. Like they train police officers how to investigate sex crimes, right? Because there's a special way you have to do it. And they always have a partner who's really super trained. Even Child Protective has a special unit. They're very specifically trained so that they're able to support a victim and not damage them more so, right? So I think that that would be my wish for all administration and for all, you know, central administration is to really properly train them in how to have those conversations because they are the ones who are doing the discipline and find out, well, this is what happened at a party on Friday night, or this is why that happened. So I think that they need better investigative, better training in how to really ask those questions in a non-threatening way and support once they ask them. Mm-hmm. My next thing would be, and this is what I tried to do with my own position was train all the teachers. And what we used is a Start by Believing, which was a local program. And just, you know what I'm talking about just by the terms. And so we taught our teachers, the entire staff, how to start by believing and what that looks like. So if a student comes to you, just it doesn't matter if it makes sense or not. You just need to start by believing. It's not our job. We're not the police. We're not investigators. It doesn't matter if they're lying. Just start by believing and get them in the hands of somebody who can, like a counselor or the counseling department. We also did training for the administrators. We did training for all of the athletes because our athletes tend to be like leaders in your schools. So training them on being more aware of being sexually inappropriate or consent. And we used a different theme every year. Like one year it was consent. And we just really made it a part of our school culture for 1 week every year. You know, we do bullying 1 week, you know, you can throw a consent or start by believing themed week in there somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, changing the culture is what it's about. That's where you're going to get movement is if you really have an all encompassing cultural change or awareness.
Yeah. Well, I would love for anyone that's listening to really take you up on that mission, on that purpose to start doing what you can to create that change, to create that movement of changing their culture. You're so on point with that. It really is a shift. And it starts with one person. It starts with one conversation. So thank you so much for speaking to that. And I know that you have so much more goodness to offer. And you are not only amazing in working with situations in schools, but you also work directly with parents and you just have so much to offer. I know that you have in the springtime in February, you're going to be a speaker at the Trauma-Informed Parenting Summit. And then in March, you are going to be facilitating a workshop at the Flourish Women's Online Summit. And you also have your very own Facebook group that someone can go to get a lot of resources and just the most up-to-date information, both, you know, through parenting for teachers. And can you tell us a little bit more about the group if anyone would like to join and be a part of your movement?
Absolutely. You know, the story I told you in the beginning, that's what this came out of. And I work with moms of teenage daughters and my group name is Moms Raising Confident Teen Daughters. And I really help moms to kind of navigate the angst and the door slamming and eye rolling to create this connection and learn to like lead their families with love and leave a legacy of love so that they are, I really feel strongly that we are somewhat socialized to believe that we have to disconnect from our family in order to move forward. And it leaves so many moms and so many daughters feeling lost and alone when that is the most amazing connection we could ever have in our life. And so in that group, I help moms to recreate that and to show up differently so they're able to connect with their daughters. And out of that group, you can work with me personally or just come in and learn what we're about. I'd love to have you.
That's absolutely wonderful. And so again, that group is Moms Raising Confident Teen Daughters. Mm-hmm. And I know that you have just amazing workshops within that group too. So whether yes. you're, you know, school staff or a parent, anyone working with teens is welcome, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The more the merrier.
Yeah. Okay. Wonderful. And we'll also be putting the links into the show notes. So if you want to connect with Nicole, feel free to utilize the show notes, connect with her. And is there anything else, Nicole, that you want to, you know, leave us with in this conversation?
I just want to remind you to not be afraid, you know, there's so much fear out there that stops us from making a connection. And these children are really just desperate for somebody to see them. And so opening that door, don't be afraid to open that door, because you can always pass the baton to the counseling department, to somebody else. But if you don't open that door, we might be missing an opportunity that's so important. And teach, there's, aside from the parents, I don't know of anyone more important than a teacher in a child's life.
Love it. So let's go out, lead with love. And thank you so much, Nicole, for being here on the Compassionate Educators Show.
Thank you.
Thank you for spending your time with us today. And if you found value in this episode, please share it. We welcome more compassionate educators to the conversation, which hopefully will make our world just a little bit brighter today. See you next time.